Back in on Canuck Central, this hour of the show is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver home game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
Pizza time.
Stan Riccio and Satyar Shah, hour number two of the program. We'll have Don Taylor and Ty Anderson. Canucks getting ready for a revenge game against a couple of former Canucks and Nikita Zadorov and Elias Lindholm. So we'll check in on the Bruins, and Don Taylor, the legend himself, will join us after 5 o'clock.
We'll find out when Zadorov is getting traded back to Vancouver.
Right. Yes, of course. The
the imminent Zadorov return.
We need to turn to Reddit.
Always got to believe Canucks Reddit, guys.
Yeah.
It's always a fun, like, it's fun when they're right, though.
Yes.
Yeah, honestly, I hope people are right when they throw this stuff out. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's fun. Especially
it adds
when, like,
to the lore.
A nobody kind of breaks a story is great. And it happens because sometimes it's somebody knows somebody.
Yes.
Right? And some random person.
Somebody knows somebody that was their ex-cousin's left foot.
Yeah.
Doctor.
Sometimes. But sometimes it's like, it's legit like, hey, my buddy works in the front office.
Yes.
He just, hey, you won't believe what happened.
Don Waddell just traded the first overall pick to Brian Burke for the Sedins. What? Anyways, that's a real long time ago. Not today. David Jurecek, as mentioned, from Frank Saravalli, not going to the Vancouver Canucks, but you can expect a trade in the near future for the sixth overall pick from a couple of years ago. All right, let's get to it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Ah! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on your Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest for today, aside from what we just heard from Frank Saravalli.
Jurecek not coming to the Canucks.
Jurecek not coming to the Canucks. Brock Besser is nearing a return, and assuming, you know, he feels good after a hard practice today and wakes up and feels good going into tomorrow's game against the Boston Bruins, Brock Besser is going to make his return to the Canucks lineup after missing 7 games following the hit from Tanner Janelle.
Yeah, it's great to see, and it's great to see him, you know, I mean, he seemed happy. He seemed himself, which is always positive more than anything else. And it looks like he hasn't missed too much time, obviously, but has missed a couple of weeks. So maybe it takes a couple of games for him to kind of find his legs again. But adding your best goal scorer back in the lineup is obviously a huge boost.
Besser is and has been, before the injury, right there with Connor Garland as far as the most consistent Canucks forwards. I guess you can put Kiefer Sherwood now into that conversation, but despite Brock missing these 7 games, he is still tied for the team lead in goals with 6. It's been a much more balanced Canucks score sheet this year than maybe it was a year ago, when a lot of it was concentrated to Miller, Pettersson, Besser, and Quinn Hughes. But now you look at this Canucks team and adding Brock back into it. Sure, they're still a little bit shorthanded. Demko, we could see him towards the end of this road trip. And Miller, we won't see until the Canucks return home, which is at the earliest December 6th against the Columbus Blue Jackets. But you're getting a little bit closer to fully healthy. You're starting to see this lineup come together a little bit more. They've really bonded through all of these absences in these last few games and gotten back to their defensive identity, which I really like. And now the only question with Brock Besser is coming back into the lineup. Well, there's a couple. And we discussed this a little bit last week. Where does he immediately go back into the lineup? Because for as much as I was, you don't even think about it. You put him next to Elias Pettersson and worry about the rest later, because, you know, you want to put your two best players currently available in the lineup together and on the same line. but there's more information that we have been able to gather over these last couple of games, Sat.
Yes.
And the information tells us that Pettersson, DeBrusk, and Sherwood is quite good together. They have an 83.3% expected goals margin on Money Puck. And what's even better than that, actual goals are even better, even stronger. 6-4, one against. That's good for an 85% share of the goals on the ice when they're on the ice for the Vancouver Canucks. So their real numbers are actually better than their expected numbers. How can you pull apart DeBrusk, Pettersson, and Sherwood? I flip-flop faster than anything on this.
It's pretty compelling, isn't it?
And they dominated the Sens on Saturday.
They were,
the Sens had absolutely no answer for that line.
I mean, that's great. But it's a Sens too. You saw how unserious that team was.
Okay,
but yes, I mean, they were clearly the best line. In a couple of games, even going back to the Rangers game, that line was terrific, right? And I think there's a lot to like about them. And, you know, we were joking last show about not breaking them up and, you know, I don't want to see them split up. But it was interesting when Tocchet was asked about it today, he still mentioned it's about what's best for the forward group.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, if you take the emotion out of it and take the hot streak out of it, because I don't want to... Again, I don't want to break it up, but does the balance not look better overall if you have Besser with
Pettersson and DeBrusk?
You go Suter, Heinen, and Sherwood, or Suter, Bluger, and
Joshua,
or Heinen, Bluger, and Sherwood.
That would be untouchables. Untouchables line. Put them back.
How good were they? Right?
Yeah.
They look like a good third line, and then you go Suter with Joshua and Garland. So now all of a sudden your top three lines look really nice and balanced, right? And then your fourth line, you have Hoglander with Ratu and Sasson, for instance. And at least Hoaglander's a guy that can drive that fourth line. We saw him do it well. So even with JT Muller out, the balance for those four lines looks decent.
Yeah.
Right? Doing that. Is the balance worth breaking up the hottest line in hockey?
It's you could maybe pull it off for one game, like, hey, we're easing Brock back into this thing. And then eventually Brock goes back up to the top line. But yeah, it is hard to keep Brock off the top line. You know, would you want, because I don't know. To me, Suter, Joshua, and Garland isn't changing. Joshua and Garland, they're attached at the hip. You can't change that line. If they're both in the lineup, they're playing together. That's just the way it's got to be. Okay. And Bluger, Heinen, Sherwood is a much more credible check. Like,
well, you saw how well they played
together.
Yeah,
like
honestly,
I don't know.
You put Sherwood on is going to go.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, you're not that. I don't want to disrespect Teddy Bluger. He's having a great season, to be honest, for the Vancouver Canucks.
He scored the other night.
I know, but you know, I don't know if I want Brock Besser playing next to Teddy Bluger. Is all I'm trying to say, you know, and that's for as much as, yeah, all the things I mentioned about Pettersson, DeBrusk, and Sherwood coming together and how good they've been, you know, ultimately that's why Brock coming back into the lineup, not that it's a bad thing, this is a good problem for the Canucks to have, but it is a question mark a little bit because that line has been so good. Now, on the flip side of that conversation, DeBrusk, Miller, Besser has been really good in the 70 plus minutes they played together. So now you're just swapping out Miller and putting Pettersson between DeBrusk and Besser. So it's probably still going to work. You put your three best players on one line. And ultimately, why is this top line running as hot as it is? Because Elias Pettersson has finally found his game again.
He really has. And I think as much as I've been, hey, he's been good, he's getting better, and there's more to his game, I still think there's another couple of levels to his game. I still maintain he can shoot the puck more, and that can be more of a threat. But he's throwing big hits. You saw him crush Stützle. You see his defensive play turn defense into offense. Even with the way he's drawing penalties now, at the beginning of the second period, he wins the faceoff. He helps get the zone entry. He wins a faceoff. He gets a shot off and a scoring chance, drives the net, gets taken down, gets back up, gets the puck in the neutral zone, gets a zone entry, gets taken down, draws a penalty, right? That's classic Pettersson, where he's winning battles, he's helping you get into the zone, he's creating chances, and he's drawing penalties, all in one shift, right? Mm-hmm. The two goals that were scored, the first one, in his own zone, he picks off a pass, He gets it up towards the wall. He chips it out. Sherwood gets it. A two-on-one happens. That doesn't happen if Pettersson doesn't pick off a pass in his own zone and turns it up ice. The Sherwood goal, that happens because he picks up a pass in a neutral zone, gets a zone entry, makes a nice pass to DeBrusk, drives middle lane, gets a defender over, and Sherwood's able to put the rebound in. That's a player impacting every facet of the game. That's what Pettersson is at his best. And he's not even at his best yet, but he's showing those elements. And I think he's very much back to being a major impact player. And I don't think, as much as Sherwood's a huge part of it, the reason why they've been the best line in hockey, because one of the best players in the game, is finally showing what he's capable of doing again.
Lord knows I love to pat myself on the back, and I'm going to do it here because I chirp myself for flip-flopping on the on the Pettersson-Sherwood press line.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I mentioned just before Pettersson had his first multi-point game when the Canucks had returned from their California road trip that Pettersson had started to play a lot better defensively, and that was going to translate into Pettersson starting to find his game on the offensive end of the rink. And not that he was poor defensively early on in the season, it just felt like he was reading the game better. He was a lot more open and confident to help defenders on the breakout and transition the puck, transport the puck through the neutral zone, reading the game well in that he was picking off all kinds of passes and creating counterattacks going back the other way. And we've seen that really start to develop more and more over the last couple of weeks for Elias Pettersson. So, you know, he's just... I think there's still a level that Pettersson can get to that we haven't quite seen yet, but his consistency has been really strong. The game has really been there the last little while at a time when the Canucks have needed it most, given all of their absences. I mean, Saturday, Hughes goes out of the game with 47 and a half minutes still to play, and it's like, okay, Pettersson, we need you to be the best player on the ice. And it felt like Elias Pettersson was the best player on the ice at all times when he was on the ice.
And I think that's an excellent point. When you're paying a guy 11.6, he needs to be the best player on ice, not every night, but on a lot of nights, especially when you're missing JT, to your point, and you're having the injuries and the issues the Canucks are having. This was the time, is the time for him to step up and be that player, right? And do you think that maybe there being more of a reliance on him is bringing more out of him?
It's possible. His game was coming back even before Miller 100%. Went out of the lineup.
He did look,
but it's almost like there's been an understanding of like, okay, I've really got to tick my game up now because my team needs me now more than ever.
Rewatching that game, he was unreal against the Sens. And again, it's the Sens. I don't want to be here hyping up the game, right? But there's a different level of even joy to how he's playing. Maybe that's the confidence coming back. But I do think he's a player that also needs at times to be... I think he's a player that needs love to some extent. Mm. And I think he's a player that needs to feel important. And I know that some may scoff at those sort of things, but each person's different. Everyone likes to get some sort of appreciation. And, you know, and being steely mentally isn't always going to work out for you, right? Like, we look at JT, for instance, and we know he's going through a number of different things, but everybody's a human.
Yeah.
We have human emotions and characteristics, and we tick in a different way. Certain things trigger certain emotions for us differently. That's, each person is different. But clearly, it can affect you. We've seen it through different players. And I do think that Pettersson is a type of player that the more he's appreciated, the more he's loved, the more confident he is, the better he performs. And I wonder right now, with him playing better, having confidence, and really being the guy that they're going to and saying, you have to carry us, and we need you right now. And them and him stepping up to that, I think, is creating a good situation for him.
It's been good to see. You know, Pettersson, I keep thinking of the game against Seattle after Pettersson had the flu or something, and the team as a whole played like hot garbage that night. And yet Pettersson came back and had his flu game. And what did he have? 5 points that night. He had like a hat trick and a couple of assists. It was just like, oh my God, I thought this guy was sick. And he shows up and is just like unplayable. Yeah. The Seattle Kraken didn't know what to do with themselves, even though the Canucks as a whole didn't play the strongest game. Pettersson was just there to like put the team on his back. We haven't seen that kind of a performance yet, but he's just been at a really high level consistently for these last few games.
He has. And I think, you know, the best is still to come from him. I don't think we've seen the best from him yet. And I think that's the exciting part of it, because I was wondering, at what point do we see him peak?
Yeah.
And is he going to be able to do that at some point this year? And I think we're going to see another peak from him. And I think the other part of it is, before we move on to the roundup, that coming into camp, because of how he had to work through his knee issue throughout the offseason, he said he had to curtail his training around it, but he felt good coming in. We know the team wanted him to find another level fitness-wise. He wasn't in bad shape, but they wanted him to find another level. I wonder if that level's now been reached with all the extra work he's doing on practice and being pushed a bit more, if that's also allowed him to kind of get back to speed.
With Brock Besser coming back into the lineup, that means somebody is going to have to go out. That'll be something interesting to watch getting closer to tomorrow's game against the Boston Bruins. In the Canucks Central Roundup, yes, the Bruins, Zadorov and Lindholm will play the Canucks for the first time. And given the Bruins' struggles to start this year, Bruins fans not loving what they've seen from Zadorov, although they have won a couple of games since making the coaching change, did the Canucks dodge bullets with Zadorov and Lindholm choosing to play for the Boston Bruins rather than the Vancouver Canucks? Because, hey, I mean, there was Canucks, it's not like the Canucks weren't interested in bringing those players back. It's just maybe the money didn't line up to what they got in Boston.
I still say no, because I just because it hasn't worked in Boston doesn't mean that it couldn't work here.
Mm.
And I think that there's still more to come from both those players.
Yeah.
I do wonder if Zadorov was just a bad fit, and it makes me wonder that the Bruins made a mistake in terms of their assessment. If they wanted to handle the puck less, it's like, boy, you went and got the wrong guy and give him a 6-year deal. And not to say that he can't, you know, become a better player, but he kind of wants to be more, not less. And they're saying be less.
Yeah.
That makes for a tough situation for me, and I wonder how that's going to go. But Lindholm's a really good player, man.
Yeah.
He really is. And I think his two-way impact, as much as he has some struggles, I think his offense will come around. But we saw what he did in Vancouver. I would take Lindholm back on this roster, honestly. Like, if you and again, the Canucks tried.
Yeah.
They were willing to give him seven. They were willing to offer. They offered him more money than they offered Jake DeBrusque.
Yeah.
So it tells you, right? Like, I would have rather have had Lindholm if they could have made it work, right? But I don't know if the Canucks had dodged a bullet on Lindholm. Zadorov, because he's a bit more combustible, and if there was any souring could have happened. You saw already he was souring with the Canucks because he didn't like this. Maybe things aren't going well in Boston. We saw what happened in other stops. Like, it could be combustible, right? Maybe that one. But not Lindholm.
The only thing I would say about Lindholm is at 29 years old when this contract kicked in, it's a pretty big commitment to make for a player that I think doesn't drive offense the way that he used to. He needs a lot of help on the wing to be able to drive offense at a high level for a player that's making a pretty high wage. So it's a tough one to answer. All right, we're going to be on tomorrow for an update at 2 o'clock. For Canucks Central, and then a 3 o'clock pregame show leading into the Boston Bruins and Canucks tomorrow afternoon in Beantown. All right, coming up, Don Taylor is going to join us. His take on what's going on with your Vancouver Canucks next on Sportsnet 650.
Big opinions and good bets. It's the People's Show with Bick Nizar. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.